I have to tell you one of my wife here, which is actually a good lead into this lesson. We've had kind of a wild couple of weeks here. And the week prior to Christmas, Cindy's brother had surgery. And he seems to be doing all right. We've had lots of run-ins trying to take care of Tim. The long and the short of that is that Cindy hadn't had time to decorate. So Christmas Day, there's almost no decorations inside the house. And we still had some things we had to deal with. And finally, we got through Christmas Day, and we get to the day after Christmas Day, and I'm looking around, and she's busily decorating. I said, what are you decorating for? I mean, Christmas is over. And she says, well, I'm just going to leave them up till June. Well, the lesson today is on priorities. And I have to say to you, in all honesty, her priorities have been in the right place. We're coming up to New Year's. I'm glad to see 2020 gone. I don't know about you, but on the other hand, with all the bad things that have been going on, there are some good things. If we're able to breathe and talk and listen and think. But I want to talk about priorities this morning. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, Jesus gave an interesting discussion about priorities. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 44. I want to mention again to you who might be new to us, and I see some new faces on Zoom, that if we have your address, we'll be sending you an outline of this lesson to the mail. Matthew 13, Jesus is talking about heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Buying something that had a promise and yet was hidden. He goes on in the next verse and says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. A treasure, something special. An investment in the future, something to bring joy. That was his priority. The next verse, more practical. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore, and they sat down and they collected the good fish in baskets and threw the bad fish away. This is how it will be at the end of time. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a fiery furnace. Priorities. In verse 49 shows the end of the world with priorities. What we choose as our priorities is important. We're starting a new year. Whether you do it formally or not, will be establishing some priorities. What are you hoping this new year will bring? Somebody says, end the mask. Yeah. But hopefully this experience has changed our priorities and perhaps reorganized them. James 4:13 makes a comment about priorities. In James 4:13, we read, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Well, you do not even know what tomorrow brings. What is your life? You are but a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. I think sometimes our ego is an issue. When we look at what we're going to do, what we have planned for the next year, I posted this on our doesgodexist.today website because I think it is an important part of what we do as we look at priorities. This is pretty good. Sometime when you're feeling important, sometime when your ego's in bloom, sometime when you take it for granted, you're the most qualified in the room. Sometime when you feel that you're going would leave an unfillable hole, just follow these simple instructions and see how they humble your soul. Take a bucket, fill it with water. Put your hand in it up to the wrist. Pull it out, and the hole that's remaining is a measure of how you'll be missed. You can splash all you want when you enter. You may stir up the water galore, but stop and you'll find that in no time, it looks quite the same as before. The moral of this quaint example is do just the best that you can. But be proud of yourself and remember, there's no indispensable man. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I think when we're establishing priorities, one of the things we have to do is to think about how much does it really matter? The Bible has a lot to say about how we establish and choose priorities. Psalms 84 and verse 10 says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Well, you've made that choice today, haven't you? You've dwelt in the house of my God. You say, what do you mean? I'm not in the house of God. Yeah, you are. See, the house of God is God's church, the chosen ones. It's not a building. It's not a structure. And you have chosen to be here in the house of God. Whether we're on Zoom or whether we're sitting in the M51 church building, we're in the house of God. If you're just listening on the phone, you're still in the house of God. Lots of other places you could be, folks. You could be in the casino across the street from the church. It could be watching some smutty movie on television. Lots of places you could be in the tent of the wicked. In Matthew 6, Jesus talking in the Sermon on the Mount, starting with verse 19, he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust corrupts and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupts and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The pandemic has affected where our hearts are. The election has affected where our hearts are. The economy has affected where our hearts are. No matter who you are, these things have affected you. And God tells us, in situations like this, but in just daily life, where our choice about priorities takes us. Listen to 1 Timothy 6, beginning with verse 6. And boy, is this a loaded passage. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, let us be content. How content are you? If you got food, if you got clothing, be content. By the way, if you don't have food and clothing, contact us because we have extra. Our food bank, our coat giveaway is ready to serve you. But it goes on, it says, let us be content. They that want to be rich, and I want to emphasize that word, they that want to be rich, fall into temptation as a snare. It's in the many foolish and hurtful desires which drown men in destruction and perdition. You ever walk through a casino? You walk through a casino, and I've been through a number of them over the years. You know, we did lectureships in Vegas and been in Reno. Haven't been to the one across the street, but I've been to the one in New Buffalo, and what you see is people drowning. Drowning. Their priorities are not food and clothing. The next sentence, we're all familiar with this one. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. They that want to be rich are drowning in destruction and perdition. This is all in 1 Timothy 6:6. They have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How many rich people do you know? I've known a few that had a lot of money. And the ones that were obsessed with getting more were pierced through with sorrows. Every time the stock market did this, they were pierced. Every time something happened they couldn't control, they were pierced. Whatever your politics, Donald Trump is a good example of what happens when you are pierced. But you, O man of God, okay, here's where we get down to us. You, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, capital letters, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. Ah, there's priorities. Is contentment a priority for you? Or are you pierced through? What is my contentment based on, dependent upon? Are rich people automatically unhappy? And the answer to that is no. The passage says they that want to be rich, want to be rich, if that is their desire, if that is their intent, if that is their obsession, they're doomed to be unhappy. In the Bible, there were rich people who played a major part in the life of Jesus Christ and in the establishment of the church. In Luke 8, starting with verse 1, there were a group of women who were wealthy. Read verses, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. You're going to see there were women who supplied the needs of this bunch of men. And it's even mentioned that one of them had connections in the Roman government. Read about Nicodemus. Read Luke 23, starting with verse 50, about the man who had a tomb that had never had anybody in it. You know what it cost to do that in those days? Have a hollowed out area in a cave. It was his grave, and Jesus was buried in it. Read about Lydia. Here's a woman who was a seller of purple. That meant she dealt with the highbrows. And she had enough money to house this whole group of missionaries and take care of them in her home. See, it's not being rich that is the issue. It is the desire to be rich, the priority. The love of money will destroy you. And it will bring sorrow. So we're talking about priorities this morning. And whether you do an end of the year resolution about the next year or not, let me encourage you to think either on paper or in your head, but think about priorities for 2021. And be specific. Not just vague wannabes. And let me suggest two lists. One physical, one spiritual. Nothing wrong with the physical. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Great. Good resolution. I'm going to get a better job. Good. I'm going to paint the house. Glad to hear that. I'm going to go to the lake 3 times. Yeah, I don't get up there as many times as I ought to. I'm going to have a big garden. Good for you. I'm going to clean out the closet. Oh, yeah? I'm going to have a wellness check. I'm going to repair the sidewalk. I'm going to put $10 a week in savings. I'm going to volunteer at okay, that's a good list of resolutions. But make another list. I'm going to read and study the whole New Testament. I'm going to start attending midweek Bible study when I get it started again. I'm going to send 5 cards a week to people who are on the prayer list. Julie's doing such an incredible job, and she spends so much time and work on that. Talk about priorities. Cindy got a card this week. She's still bubbling over about it. Beautiful card. I'm going to help with the highway cleanup. Good, we need you. I'm going to make 5 phone calls this week to shut-ins. Oh, Donna will like to hear that. I'm going to thank God for every meal. I'm going to tell someone why I go to church. I want to visit a shut-in every week. I'm going to bring a coat to church for the giveaway. I'm going to subscribe some good Christian literature. Do you hear the difference between that list and the other list? And let me encourage you to prioritize. And I've got a little demonstration here for you. Here's a bucket full of life. What do you mean life? Well, look at the names on here. What do we got? Well, yard work. Getting my hair fixed. Yeah, I know, I need a haircut. Fixing up the car. Cleaning my clothes. Reading a little more about the national situation. Getting some new shoes. Watching a good television program. Doing a better job of fixing meals. Fixing the house. That's life. Of course, there's some other things. Taking care of your health. Doing your job. Paying your taxes. So, in the life area, I've got some sand representing life. How many of these are there? Oh, there's a ton of stuff. Man, every day there's stuff we got to do. From vacuuming the floor to taking care of our food supply. And oh, yeah, a lot of that. And there's some stuff we got to do. I mean, you got to take care of your health. You got to pay your taxes. Bigger things than the sand of life. So this is you. Got a bucket. What about the big things in life? Well, I've got a representation of the big things in life. God. Your husband, your wife. Big thing. Friends. Church. And priorities depend upon how you do things. So this is your life. Your life has room for so much. I used to have a psychology professor that said, we don't all have the same size buckets. Some of us can handle more than others. Yeah, that's true. I was looking at Bill Solomon's there and the things that his life has been a part of, just what I know. He's had a full life. He's done a lot. I look at Richard and what he's done and how he's taking care of people. But see, the question of what we do with our lives and how we fill our lives is vital. And here's what the world would have you do. They say, okay, take care of television. Take care of golf. Take care of getting a fancy car. Take care of. And most people take care of taxes, take care of your health, yeah. Okay. But how much room have you got for God? Oh man, not much room. My life is already full. How much room do I have for my wife? For my friends? How many of these essentials can I get in there? Well, you can see the point. It's some's going to be left out. I don't have any more room. So what would God have us do? What is God's advice for us? God's advice for us is to start with God. Start with your wife, your husband. Start with your friends. Start with church. Start with your kids. See, got them all in there. And there's still room for There's still room for taking care of my health. There's still room for all these things. And there's still room for what we want to do with life. See, when you start with priorities of the really important things of life, there's room for everything else. By the way, I have to give credit here. You know who first taught me this? My wife, Phyllis, when she was alive. And some of you may remember, she did this demonstration a couple of times. And it always stuck with me. I saved it. It's been in the basement. And I thought, boy, we're going to talk about priorities. Isn't that a great message? Prioritize your life. Put God in first. Put your wife, your husband, your kids in first. Put the church in first. And you'll still have room for all that other stuff. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come to you today begging your forgiveness. Because we know that our priorities are not always what they ought to be. And in this year of politics and disease and economic problems, we've tended to look at the immediate, at the temporal, at the physical, and probably have started in the wrong place. Forgive us, Father. Help us in this new year to have our priorities the way they should be. Help us to put you number one. Help us to put the institutions that you've given us, marriage, family, love, right at the top. Help us to not be obsessed with things, with entertainment, with all those things that if we obsess with them, just hurt us. And focus on love and service and friendship and friends and well-being. And help us in this new year, Father, to stand up for Jesus. To not be afraid to express our faith, to give answers of the hope that is within us, and to radiate love to a lost and a dying world. For we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing about that. Stand up for Jesus.